Fleur podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners on the lands on which we've recorded each episode, which is the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we pay our respects to their elders, both past, present, and emerging.
Welcome back to Coffee with Fleur. Fleur, we're back in the cafe again, coffee in hand.
Yes, we are. We're here to do our second episode on social media. Social media and its impact on well-being. And as just to remind everyone, I personally feel like I haven't kind of gotten to a positive place yet with my social media use. I think I'm better than I've been before, but I think I'm still a work in progress, and maybe we'll always will be, but I don't feel like I've got the I don't feel ready that I'm comfortably there. Anyway, I don't know how else to say it. But David, I know we've talked before, and I know you're a few steps ahead of me. So it'd be great to hear your experience, you know,
to
where you are today.
I think what you said is quite right, though. We're all trying to navigate social media and the beast that it is in our own way. And there's probably no right way of doing it.
No.
It might be a way that works for you, but there's not certainly one way everyone knows what to do, because we'd all have done it.
So I think, you know, for some people it's complete absence. For others it's like ways to manage or boundaries, which we've talked about before around it. So it's different for everyone, different reasons to use social media.
I'm very happy to just explain what I've done over the last few years, which has resulted in me coming off as much social media as I can.
Yes. What were you using before?
Sure.
Like when you started, like how did all your use of social media start?
Well, actually it was all to do with one of my passions, which is cycling. Cycling's a pretty niche sport.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to know what's going on with the Tour de France, you can probably find that out every July. Massive bike race all over mainstream media.
Yeah.
But if you're passionate about a niche sport that doesn't get television coverage, particularly on the women's cycling side, the only way I could find out what was going on was signing up to X or Twitter, as it was then.
Yes.
And it was a really interesting experience, because suddenly in doing so, I found a community who were like-minded individuals, who were passionate about the same thing as I was, and who inhabited a niche in the world where we couldn't find out anything else about our sport in any other way.
Yes.
And so I ended up doing a lot around cycling, women's cycling in particular on that. And I was probably on it for, you know, getting on for 5-7 years, something like that.
Yep.
Every day.
Yes.
And then the sport actually grew during that time, and I realised it probably wasn't a niche
anymore.
And then I started reflecting.
Yeah.
Do I actually need this social media thing?
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably over a period of 6 months.
Yes.
I'd do posts every day, and I'd reply, and I'd get in the comments, and I'd do all that stuff. And, you know, I had built up quite a big following.
Yeah.
But was I being happy?
Mm.
How long was this taking?
Mm.
Was it detrimental to other aspects of my life that was going against my values, such as family?
Yes.
And I came to the conclusion over a couple of months that actually, maybe I didn't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And I've never been a Facebook person. I've never been Instagram, although we'll touch on that later.
Yes.
Certainly not TikTok.
No, I've avoided that.
Too old for that.
I haven't avoided it because of my age, because, you know, that's just a sad admission. Well, not really. It's actually a good thing to the privilege of getting older, yeah. But that's another topic.
You should
topic.
See me dancing, though, Claire.
But I just thought I don't need another social media that's platform. Right. That's why I didn't join. But yes, keep going.
Yeah, so I'd reached that point. I had done a bit of reflection and I got to the point, actually, I looked this up before this episode, in early January this year.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I just stopped posting.
Yeah.
And I changed.
This is on X/Twitter.
X/Twitter. And I changed my bio.
Mm-hmm.
And I just put used to post about all things cycling.
Uh-huh.
But I don't anymore.
Yes.
And just left it.
Yeah.
I didn't delete the app at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't know how I would respond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a bit of a insurance policy or something.
Yeah.
Or experiment, I guess.
Experiment.
Yeah.
But also, actually, in a practical sense, there was no other way to watch the coverage. So I'd actually wanted to know what's going on in my sport, so yes. I could read it, but yes. not interact.
Yeah.
But as it turned out, I didn't miss it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And nearly 8 months later, I've not posted. I've not looked at it. I haven't. I actually opened it once.
Right.
To look for a photograph or something.
Yes.
But that was it.
Yeah.
And I haven't missed it at all. I have a huge amount more time with my family.
Mm-hmm.
I have more interesting passions.
Mm-hmm.
I read a lot more.
Yes. Long form.
Yeah. That's I do more exercise. I'm actually on my bike, not reading about cycling.
Yes,
I'm actually on my bike.
It's such a funny thing, isn't it? Because I notice, like on Instagram, I follow quite a few people who do, you know, exercise or strength, because it's a bit of a focus of mine at the moment. It's like, Fleur, what is the point of just watching people exercise? You've got to do it. You know, don't save 1,000 videos of someone doing the exercises you want to do one day. You know, maybe you should do them.
So,
yes.
Absolutely. So I arrived at the point where I just got rid of all the apps, but left X there just as a reference point, which I actually never look at.
Yes.
But I didn't make sure it's like 7 screens to the right when I swipe, so I don't actually look at it at all. But I can genuinely say that I don't. Not active on that at all.
Mm. I have to admit, for Twitter, for me, I deleted it.
Yeah.
I deleted my profile. I think, and some other, I know other people have done this as well. When I knew that Elon was taking over, I just knew this is a values. It's funny. It's a values thing. I thought, no, I just didn't have that trust and faith, and I was already thinking about getting rid of it anyway. So that's, I actually don't have a profile at all on there. But anyway, keep going.
So that was the I guess personal side. The other part of the personal side was being a parent and making sure that our son didn't get totally overwhelmed with all the challenges that teenagers have with social media.
I'm so glad it wasn't around when we were growing up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gosh.
The interesting thing was we tried to say, okay, no phones. Like many parents do that, right?
Mm.
And we actually stayed off true to that until the 13th birthday, because we figured, actually, in this day and age, his whole world's going to be online.
Yeah.
But maybe that's a sort of great gift for becoming a teenager, is you get your first phone.
Mm.
So we did do that.
Mm. Was it a smartphone?
It was.
Yeah.
But that's because we figured, actually, all of his social network is online.
Mm.
His life is all connected.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that he does has an app about it, whether it's his performance classes or performing dance classes.
Yes.
Or any another one of his interests.
Mm-hmm.
All his people are online, and that's where his life happens.
Yeah, I think that's why it's so difficult for parents, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I've heard that some people suggest just giving your kids a flip phone. So they can have a phone, but not a smartphone, just the good old flip phone. I've actually thought of doing that myself.
Yeah.
But then I started thinking about, you know, Google Maps, you know, for directions. Precisely. And the weather. And so, yes, it's not as easy.
It's really difficult to find that balance and to think of, as a parent, strategies to just encourage children off.
Yeah, you want them to be able to choose for themselves in a way. I'm not a parent, so I'm a step-parent, but so I don't make those decisions, so I don't envy parents in that.
So what can parents do? Well, I actually came across an author. Now, I'm going to get this name wrong, so Eva Loeschner?
Erin
Loeschner. So Erin, Loechner, the author of Opting Out of Technology. Mm-hmm. So it's probably easier to Google.
Or Opting Out of Technology.
Than my poor pronunciation. And some real interesting, so simple strategies that I hadn't thought of. For example, if you've got children and they're on their phones or in their room, how about quickly bake some cookies?
Mm.
That smell will entice the children.
Biscuits.
Cookies. Hey, children are always hungry, right? Mm-hmm. So she says, okay, they might come out and go, what's that smell? And then you can talk about baking and get them involved. Simple thing as a parent, make eye contact when children come into the room.
Mm.
Really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Try that today.
Yeah. It seems weird to think that you have to say, make eye contact with your children.
But you're talking about deep scrolling in the last episode.
I know. That's what
I'm just carry on scrolling, what's the child going to think? Well, obviously, that's how to behave.
It's these small messages, isn't it?
And one that I have done as well is turn off all notifications.
I've definitely done that. Yeah.
Now, one thing that you actually challenged me on.
I didn't. It wasn't. Yes, we'll keep going.
Yeah. Well, I was very confident when we were planning this season and these episodes out, saying, oh, yes, Flair. Well, I've actually deleted or closed off all my social media, so I can't post anymore. I've deleted most of it from my phone. Mm-hmm. I actually don't do social media.
Yes. You made that declaration.
I did. And I was super confident in doing so. And then you looked at me and said, but you do LinkedIn.
I wasn't meaning that in a cheeky way.
But it challenged me and it gave me really something to think about. Mm. It took me a few days to go, well, hang on a second. Am I being true to myself? Am I telling people I've come off social media and here I am doing LinkedIn?
Yeah.
It's social media for business.
Yeah. It is. All of them are the same in terms of their addiction, you know, the things that draw you in. They're all the same, aren't they? Regardless if it's TikTok, Twitter, Threads, Instagram, whatever it is, yeah.
So how did I navigate this? I'll be very honest here, it took me a few weeks to, like, balance this all in my mind after you challenged me like this.
But was it disruptive to your well-being? That's probably the key, isn't it? Was having that LinkedIn posting, was it having a net negative? Because that's how I kind of see it. There's going to be some negative, but is it net negative?
I think you're right. There were negatives when I thought about it, but there were also a lot of positives, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what were the negatives? If I posted something, I would find myself picking it up and thinking, has anyone liked it?
Yeah.
That's external validation.
Yes.
Which means nothing in the real world.
Yeah.
So I actually did find myself doing that. Mm-hmm. That's a negative. But then from a career sense, being able to connect with other professionals, being able to follow researchers who have contributed by extension to this podcast.
Yes, exactly. That's what I use it
to
for.
Build knowledge for my development in my career.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that's probably a vital tool.
Yes.
And so the way I sort of to a point of acceptance after a lot of thinking about this was that I was using it as a business tool to further my career.
Yes.
I wasn't really using it in the strict sense of social media and huge in the comments and starting conversations.
Yes.
And But then at the same time, it did run through my mind, I really need to put this phone down because I'm looking at how many likes I have.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're right,
yeah.
There's negative. But to answer your question in a very long-winded way, I think it was a net positive I came to because I was using it for my growth and benefit.
Mm.
And that's all about well-being in my career.
Mm-hmm.
Or supporting people through change and well-being.
Yeah.
And that was a benefit to me, but also the benefit of people I coach and support. Mm. So definitely a net positive.
Yes.
Even if there was that constant reminder, stop picking the phone up and looking for light.
Yeah, yes. I feel like, David, like we both talked about our experiences here, and what I feel like is missing for us, because we're really, you know, our podcast is often about sharing tools, tips, techniques, and we've done a little bit of that. But I feel like perhaps next season, assuming that we're going to do
season three,
we need to explore this more and really sort of help people with, you know, what can we do? What does that look like? What, you know, we talked about habits and different things like that, because I feel like it's an episode in and of itself, isn't it? So
I think you're right. Definitely check out James Clear, Habits, because he gives...
Cal Newport, look him up. Yep.
James Clear gives a great list of how to start a habit, but also how to break an unhealthy habit.
Yeah.
So that's a really good one to reference to look up. Cal Newport, you suggested again. But I think actually what we've tried to capture today is the fact that we're still figuring this out ourselves.
Yeah, I think so. I think it is a big topic when it comes to well-being. I think it's very important to address. And yeah, I think it just shows that the fact that we're still sort of grappling with it, it's a very pervasive thing that, and I would like to think that I can do things better and differently, and that we can pass some of that experience on to others. Or I'd be loved to hear what other people have done as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be fantastic.
I can put the James Clear habits cheat sheet in the show notes, which is how to create a good habit and also how to break a bad habit, which is maybe more pertinent to this, which is make it invisible. I think you talked about doing that, make it unattractive. You did as well. Making it difficult, making it unsatisfying.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a sheet for people to talk, to check out. But yes, I think we need to just keep regularly checking in on this because I have a feeling that most of our listeners are still continuing to figure this out as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Having settled that, Fleur, we do have an Instagram account.
That feels so wrong, doesn't it? But do you want to explain how we justified creating that?
Well,
we don't encourage people to use Instagram, but if you are a user and you enjoy it and you find it satisfying...
It's an access point to our material. That's how I look at it anyway. Mm. And we are being very careful. We've actually employed an admin.
So we don't have to look at it
ourselves.
We can... directly anyway.
And so someone who is in a position to manage that for us.
Yeah.
So whilst we do look at it, just to get feedback and audience, because that's very valuable for what we do, it's probably not something we'll be on every day. It's an access point for our material.
Yeah. It's just a way to try and connect with people, because that's the challenge, isn't it? That social media is the easy way to find and connect with people that we've never had before in human history. So hence why it's so popular and so forth. So we felt like it was difficult to not have that. But I think having someone who manages that for us rather than putting ourselves in that position makes it a little bit more justifiable, if you like.
That's right. So. And you can look at for us on LinkedIn as well, or the Coffee with Fleur website, which is maybe a more less addictive way of looking at things. Hey, thank you, Fleur.
Thanks, David. I look forward to
today, but a big topic on which we'll continue.
Yeah, I think we will look at it further as we go along. And
brilliant.
Yeah. Well, all right. I think I need a sleep now after that. I'm exhausted.
Absolutely. No. Another coffee, maybe. We will catch up soon. Thanks very much for today.
Okay. Thanks, David. Talk to you soon.